This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 6th of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Space Demonstration, Havingness, Energy, etc., Part 2. This tape is 42 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Second part of November the 6th. Lecture afternoon of November 6th. And I want you to see how this would work out with space. If you were to change environment, unless each environment was individually marked, you wouldn't know you had changed an environment, right? So everybody accommodatingly marks all these environments with objects. One knows then individual environments by knowing the objects in the environments. Right? Well, when you get out above Earth a bit, if you weren't to look around at any stars or anything of the sort, in other words, delete the stars, and you would find that any piece of space above Earth was any piece of space. Which, to say the least, is a little bit confusing. If all space was empty, this would be very upsetting. One would never be able to change his environment. Here he is. He selected out an environment for his randomity. He's a fellow named Hitler, and he's gone over and burned most of Europe. He selected out Europe for his environment. First he selected out Germany as his randomity, and then he selected out Europe, and then he lost Europe and lost Germany at the same time. All right, let's take him again. If he did survive this lifetime and he turns up again, he'll find out that he doesn't remember these machines that kick back. The fellow can't learn to play the piano if he's been an expert piano player. He's running slower in the machine. Now he's got Germany and Europe as his randomity. As just plain too much plus randomity. So he won't go near him. He'll try to get out of there. Now, little by little, let's say in one way or another, he's done this to the world. Well, he's got other planets, so forth. But supposing he just did this to space. Then he did it to space, and then he did it to space. Space would always be running faster than himself, wouldn't it? The common denominator of all engrams, the common denominator of all engrams, unconsciousness. And the common denominator of all environments, let's just go from engrams now in full swoop, and let's just take an environment as meaning the entire area which surrounds a person for a lifetime or a section of a lifetime or for a moment, just environment. The common denominator of all environments is space. In this universe, one starts to run out of universe. Just starts to, and of course he runs out of space. You get the idea. He immediately runs out of space. Space is the re-stimulator of every environment on the tract. Well, we know it isn't there. As I told you, a person who's rather bad off, you tell them, look at the space around that telephone pole. This is a wonderful demonstration if you're demonstrating to somebody who's having a rather hard time in life. You know it because his ideas of space are terrific. I mean, it's just horrible. And you show him this telegraph pole and you say, now look at the emptiness on both sides of the telegraph pole, you say in a bright, cheery voice. Clown! You find yourself looking at the telegraph pole. You can immediately say, just as though you observed him, although this is bad for him, say, no, look on both sides of the telegraph pole. He probably won't notice it. Look on both sides of the telegraph pole now, and look at the space around the telegraph pole, not at the telegraph pole. Spong! Now, he'll keep this up for some time. He knows there's space. He knows this. There's a word, S-P-A-C-E. He knows there's space. What is space? Well, space is a number of other words. Space is an empty place with a hole in it. Or let's see, what is the definition of space in physics? Space is a hole in an empty place. where we have something that expands. No, the space expands. That's right, this is an expanding universe. That isn't the definition they use, is it? It's a hole in something that is empty. Couldn't get really more confused than they are about this word. This word is defined precisely in the dictionary as an area which doesn't contain anything. It's wonderful. Avoidance of space is the main thing that a physicist does. He keeps trying to look for something, 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 something. He's got to find something. Science at large, early on its track, could be called, is the game of find the rules. Early on the track, game, find the rules. Now, they've forgotten what they were trying to find the rules for, much less forgotten that it was a game. The books of science written a couple of thousand years ago here on Earth are mainly remarkable for their complete offhandedness. The willingness of Francis Bacon, for instance, to write on the subject of science was quite fluid prose. Now, this does not compare to the work of a fellow whose name I said I would never mention after he wrote me a letter and saying he did not have any responsibility for Dianetics, and asked me not to mention his name in connection with it. I had never mentioned his name in connection with it, by the way. A fellow whose name then I can't mention, and just to make sure that I show you I haven't mentioned his name, it's Norbert Wiener. It's just about as fresh out of space as you can get, and he writes with the fluidity of a brick stuck in the middle of a highway. 10 pages of mathematics start out this book called Cybernetics, and all of his friends go around apologizing, like they did about Dianetics, Barnes, Seismel, well, they went around apologizing for the preface. They go around apologizing for Norbert Wiener's books, explaining to everybody that the mathematics doesn't have anything to do with cybernetics, but it's just that. How to start out in high gear, a bunch of summation signs. We couldn't go faster in reverse as far as the reading public was concerned. Well, this is science. From the game, find the rules, which is actually the game they're still trying to play, they have gotten into the game of let's make a deeper significance out of it. If you want to go around and get anybody who will really confuse you, get some of these academic scientists. I've gone around and asked some of these fellows some of the most elementary questions and come away so confused that I had to go and audit myself for 10 or 15 minutes because it was incomprehensible to me that the people could be that incomprehensible. I'm in awe of this, by the way. I'm in terrible awe of this. How a man, for instance, can take a simple thing like a grain of salt and run it up into a complete puzzle and mystery with a terrible significance and then put an examination grade on it on top of that is an art. That's not a science. Well, we look this over and we find out that they've hit an inverted dynamic. It isn't a game of find the rules anymore. It's a game of lose them. Lose their own rules. Most lost people you ever saw. Scientists correspond with each other like mad all the way across the country trying to find out who knows. A fellow comes to mind, Bob Heinlein, while he's working in Philadelphia. He's a writer. And he's not, rightly speaking, a scientist. But while he was working in the Philadelphia aircraft factory during the last war, he tried to find out who had a table of orifice pressures for jets. By the way, that is the entrance to the whole subject of jets, is to learn what the orifice pressures are and what the efficient pressures are, what velocity of fuel going through an orifice of what size it gives the greatest efficiency for forward propulsion of a reaction engine. That is the entrance to the problem. And to this date, there exists no table except that used by firemen to measure fire hoses. And that's what they're building jet planes with. But don't let on, I told you. Bob Heinlein wrote to find out if there was an expert anywhere in the country on orifice pressures. And he wrote to this one and that, and he forwarded his mail this way and that, and finally he got back the word that some other people knew of an expert on this, on orifice pressures, and so he excitedly, at last, because time was growing short, he telegraphed them as the commandant of the Navy Yard in Philadelphia, and he received back his answer that the fellow, the expert on it, was Robert Heinlein. Uh, Now, this happens quite often. Well, in life, just to kick up randomity and get more and more game going, they keep losing the rules and losing the rules and losing the rules until at length it inverts on them. Well, they have to lose rules, just like you have to lose the postulate of one of these automatic machines that tell you where to go and how to go and to tell the truth and so forth. You got a machine for almost everything you're doing. Somebody's put it there. Sunday school, for instance, installed a beautiful machine on the subject of truthfulness. This is a wonderful thing to hang a kid with because he'll hang eventually. Nothing can, it works better than to make a compulsive liar than to give him a machine, other person's machine, that makes him tell the truth all the time. And eventually he'll re-invert and tell the truth, but then he can't remember any truth to tell. That has a disadvantage. When we go into any of these problems, we come up in the final analysis with this one common denominator. And the common denominator is something that nobody's looking at. And making people look at it will actually open up the track in all directions. And that is space. The common denominator. Now, space is also, to a large degree, the ingredient of unconsciousness. You can fully expect somebody on space processing to cross a sort of an abyss of sort of perpetual unconsciousness to a complete unconsciousness, you come away. And as you're running this process, you see this flick on and off. What you're watching there is the ingredients which make up unconsciousness. Now, it frightens the Thetan that he can be unconscious until he realizes that the only way he can be unconscious is to postulate in the first place that he's not going to know. And you find in every early operation, Mama and the dentist and the little boy all busily postulating madly amongst themselves that he won't know anything about it. Now, if we just postulate this hard enough, we get the phenomenon of unconsciousness. It is not a natural or native phenomenon which sneaks up on a Thetan unawares and does this and that. He wants to be unconscious in the moments he's unconscious. Now, he's wanted to be unconscious and then forgotten he wanted to be unconscious often enough so at length he will be compulsively unconscious, which gets him into the state of unalertness and unawareness, which you find your pre-clear in ordinarily, and which, by the way, is terrifically difficult to disturb. But if you started mocking up equipment which would make him unconscious and have him remember where he wasn't unconscious a few times, which, by the way, is straight wire, remember something real, is just remembering places where you weren't unconscious, you go down the line on it, and you'll start reestablishing his awareness. And his awareness comes up, and what is awareness? In the final analysis, it's perception, and so on. Well, what's he chosen out for his randomity? He's chosen out every intimate contact on somethingness. Well, first he neglects space. See, he's got to neglect space because the environment tells him, these objects tell him he's in a new environment. That's good. So it's the objects that are important. Now we've drifted off of space and onto objects, and now we've gotten down into a lower echelon of where we don't want objects touched. Now as soon as we don't want objects touched, we're inverting the problem again. And this means that we've got to have space between things which touch objects and the objects. Which is to say, don't pull my tooth. Get the idea? He wants unconsciousness. I don't want to be hit in the head with a rock, the caveman is saying. And bang, he'll go unconscious. Where does he go unconscious? That's the real trick work. Sometimes he struggles against what? He struggles against unconsciousness. No, he's not. He's struggling against his own postulates. They're conflicting. One says, stay awake and alert and defend yourself. And the other one says over here, pass out quick and look like you're dead and they won't eat you. And he's caught between these two postulates in a complete confusion, and sometimes somebody will remain conscious for minutes after he's supposed to be unconscious. Once in a while, a doctor gets a hold of a kid that will do this. They keep pouring on the ether and keep injecting him in the arm and holding him down and then chloroform and a little laughing gas, and the kid's still awake. Truth of the matter is that the kid has enough power to completely offset the body's natural reaction, which again rests on its own postulates. So we've gone down to a negative object. You get the idea. We've fought any space being around by changing environments, and then we fight any other objects being around. So you mean we've got to have space now. Now we don't want space, see? Now the next postulates on the line say, I want space. And between these two, this confusion comes up, and the fellow says, well, I don't want to know about it. That's just too much. If he just were to hold it a little bit longer, he'd find his machinery busting up all over the shop as a Thetan. He doesn't do this. He merely gets between these two conflicts. Gotta have space, don't want any space. See? First he's gotta have space, then don't want any space. See, objects. Now we're into another strata of gotta have space. And he'll run that for a short time, and then he's on a objects again. See, that fails. So we're running a space, no space, space, no space, space, no space, space, no space, until the concept of space is practically vanished. On a person who has run this line, a concept of space having practically vanished, an author has a little bit of trouble. But isn't it strange that a person is perfectly willing to begin each lifetime without any thought or regard to this thing called space or aberration or something of the sort, and he waits for something else to set up some kind of a machine for him. But his spirals, it does affect him, because his spirals are getting shorter and shorter. Now, it's a problem then in spaces, not a problem in objects. Objects aren't even aberrating. Back of a note, isn't it? Words are only aberrating because they occupy spaces and one can't look at spaces. Words occupy spaces. Obviously, my words, for instance, are crossing spaces. But if you can't have space in there, and yet there's something there, now this probably at this turn of the spiral is not popular. Let you notice this. Now get the silence in the next few words I speak. I don't want you to listen to the sound. You understand? I want you to listen to the silence. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8. Give you a funny feeling? Now just listen to the silence. Just the silence. Now don't bother with the object, the sound itself, or the striking vibration. Let's pay attention to the vibrations that don't strike. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now if you listen to music, you can do this just about so long until the music starts to go like this. Now listen to the silences here. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9. Randomity there, isn't there? Random motion. Motion which is not immediately predicted. Well, the music goes hubbity-gup, bop, body, bop, bop, and knocks one around and so gives one sensation. But people don't listen. Don't listen to the silences. Trying to fill the silences, which means they're trying to fill space. There are people who have anxieties about silence. You get this fellow with his sonic walk and you think immediately he has an anxiety about hearing something. No. He might now have an anxiety about that he might hear something, but that started out with an anxiety about space. Not filled. Space not filled. He talked to filling all silence. If you don't believe this, anxiety about the silence, I'll give you this as a little experiment. Go in somebody's office sometime, say nothing to the receptionist, and sit down at the fellow's desk that you're going to talk to, and look at him and say nothing. You'd usually crack up in the strain of it. Silence, that's what people are trying to avoid, because it's space. Restimulates its characteristic of empty space. Now, actually, empty space is possibly non-existent, any more than an absolute zero is non-existent. But there's certainly relatively empty space and relatively full space. And all the way down the line, one loves to deal in objects because they so obviously contain no space.
And the nuclear physicist has such a wonderful time trying to find a particle. He is now, at this moment in 1953, almost mad as a profession, almost insane as a profession, trying to find a particle. He writes these wonderful articles in the Scientific Canadian and so forth, and they say, unitrons and the harpatrons and the pagatrons and mopatrons and dopatrons are all trotting madly, and we have measured the incipitus of the wapatrons, and what he means is we've set up a meter and it went twitch. And after that, we said that was a wapatron.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
And these guys are in bad shape. No kidding. They have found out, and have carefully not mentioned, that space isn't constant. And they have found out also that space manufactures particles. And they have found out also that by the time you batted around a few alpha rays through a lead plate, you have many more alpha rays than you started out with without taking any out of a lead plate. And yet nothing splits. And so it comes out of other space, they think. Dirac, by the way, postulated this mathematically. Then they came along and decided this. In other words, matter makes itself. Well, just that way, matter is destructible. It's as destructible as space is destructible. You put up anchor points around you and make a cube of space, and you blow up the anchor points, you've destroyed space. That's what it is to it. You've done the same thing if you shove the anchor points in. No difference. Only thing, when you put up anchor points and blow it up, you're falling back on a secondary space, which is messed universe space. If you were just operating by yourself out of the messed universe wavelength, and you put out 8 anchor points, you'd just have some space, that's all. Not in another space, you'd have some space. Now somebody comes along and slaps them in on you. Believe me, you sure got no space. It gives people an anxiety about space. People work continuously toward something, not toward nothing. But there are organizations that will work toward nothing, but they are not as popular an organization as those that work toward something. In other words, compare, for instance, the Cancer Society, which is still doing all right, but compare its employees and its general material in the society, and the amount of attention it gets, compare that to General Motors. There's not much comparison. Well, we put these two things in that bracket, and we find out that people are more willing to work toward something than they are to work toward nothing. See, an absence of is what the Cancer Society is working toward. Well, how do we add this up in a preclear? Well, of the essence, preclear is always working toward something. A person gets pretty bad off, he works toward something like mad. He works toward more something and more something and more something and more something, and he never notices the nothings. So he gets fixed on something. And that something may or may not be actual. But it's sure there. There's nothing wrong with making lots of somethings, or having lots of somethings, or looking at lots of somethings, but for heaven's sakes, once in a while, tell him to look at nothing. Now, when you as an auditor are processing a preclear and putting out anchor points and anchor points and anchor points and space in the room and space in the body and so forth, the 10 minutes of nothing at the 6 steps of better beingness is no joke. You'll find out the case will do a pretty good improvement every once in a while. After you get in mock-ups, 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 mock-ups. I had you doing this one day. I said, put up some nothing. There were some people in this class that were for a while in that group putting up nothing alternately with the mock-ups. Did it improve the mock-ups any? Take off any tension? Putting some nothing out there instead of a markup. Well, a person puts something out there, something, 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 and it leaves, excuse me for saying this, but language being what it is, it leaves a vacuum of nothing. It leaves a hunger for nothing. And this hunger for nothing comes around when the person has chosen nothing out as randomity. In other words, he's got to have security, which means he's got to have old age retirement, and he's got to have a lot of this and a lot of that and so forth so he can do this and that. He's actually chosen nothing for his randomity. Now, let's think of nothing as a positive quantity rather than a negative quantity. And he's been fighting for 50 years or 60 years, let's say, for something, and all of a sudden, he's completely bogged. He can't seem to get any space. His communication lines kind of go to pot on him a little bit, and he doesn't quite know what he's doing. It has never occurred to him to look forward toward nothing beyond a nothingness of effort. See, he works toward that so he can have a nothingness of effort, but he never thinks of it as a nothingness. He thinks of it as a somethingness of commodity. And he just completely overbalances the something-nothing ratio. So he's chosen out, selected out nothing as randomity, and it'll engulf him. He finally says, nothing has more power or force than myself. Nothing has more power or force than myself. See? He chose nothing out, so nothing has more power than he has. Wow. This is real good. Because this is exactly what happened to your thinking on the early part of the track. Your thinking used there exactly as your frequent. This is what happened to him early on the track. He fought for something and fought for something and chose nothing out, and then he says, nothing has more power than myself. This commodity called nothing obviously has more power than myself. So therefore, he goes into the winning valence. He just shifts. Like the gardener, you see. The gardener says, he never knew a fellow that was as persuasive as this gardener, and then he finds out the gardener's a drunk. See? Well, he never knew anything that was more persuasive than this space. You understand? It turns out he's space. This is what you're trying to reverse on a case. The Thetan is not nothing, but space is, and it's his first enemy, which he exerted all of his power against. To do what with it? Fill it up. This universe, space, that he agreed to was so big that it couldn't be filled up, and it's still empty. And all of this matter is full of space. Now, as a test of this, you just get a fellow to double terminal nothingness sometime, just for an experiment. And every once in a while, you've been processing a pre-clear, and he'll go home and he'll get sick. Or if he goes home and gets sick at his stomach, something like that, it's just because you touched on nothingness and didn't do anything more about it. Can you do anything about it rapidly? Well, you can do something about it when it's making him sick at his stomach. You can have his stomach eaten by Papa and eaten by Mom, and his stomach eaten by dogs and tigers and bears and babies until he at last has enough motivators. And that's a very quick way to fix up a stomach, because the stomach does continual overacts. It eats and eats and eats and eats and eats. It's filling space, filling space, filling space, filling space inside itself. But it counts on other things to fill that space. So other things are filling this space, and it's filling nobody else's space. See, it's not filling anything space. So you have to have the stomach eaten for a while. Fellow has ulcers, don't let him go to the hospital and have 5 ribs cut out so the doctor can get to the ulcerated place and cut out 3/4 of his stomach or 5/8 of it or 7/8 or whatever they're doing now as the routine operation. Because it isn't necessary. Just tell him, all right, now let's get a picture. Let's get the idea. Your papa eating your stomach and your mama eating your stomach and dogs eating your stomach. And you'll find he's having a hard time at first getting to eat one little piece of stomach. Dog comes along. No, dog can't eat his stomach. Well, have the dog waste it. Have the dog drag it down the street in the dust without eating it. Okay, you'd be surprised what a relief this is to him. Now eventually he can have dogs eating his stomach. What happens to his ulcers? They go. Boom. Well, so there's a fast technique to undo this, but it's because you've touched on nothingness and didn't go very far with it. The right to be nothing is the greatest right a person can be given in this society at this time. But of course, it's not much of a right, but it's a big one, because the parents have all dramatized this, and they said, you've got to fill space, you've got to fill space, you've got to fill space. And if you could think of everybody on the track, and you as parents on the track, and as you as children on the track, and you as Thetans bond clubs on our track, and groups on the track, they have been going in this cycle. They've been saying, all right, you've got to fill space, you must fill space, you must fill space, that's all there is to it, you've just got to fill space. And then they've gone on the track, like all of a sudden the first era after 1 AD, they've got to say, You got to make nothing. You got to put nothing there. 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 Then all of a sudden that turns around again and they say, you got to fill space. You got to fill space. That's the whole agreement. Fill space, empty space, make space. Uncreate space. That's dreaming. And when we get down to it, we find this sad, sad tale is happening all the time. A poor man finds this very funny. A socialist and a communist find this very funny. But some fellow who has, by being an entrepreneur, has managed to make a considerable amount of money. And he's liked it. And by the time he gets around to spending it, he has so many ulcers, he can't even buy a bottle of wine and drink it with a clean conscience. He spends most of his money on the Mayo Clinic, getting the four ribs cut out, so that they can heal up and patch up the ulcer. That's the fate that he runs into. That's merely because he's unbalanced. He's saying, we've got to fill space, fill space, fill space, fill space, fill space. Never occurs to him to empty it. The Romans, by the way, were quite well balanced on this. They used to empty space periodically. As a matter of fact, the libation to the gods is right here on what we're saying. They used to pour some liquor out on the ground. Throw it away. Give it to the gods. They didn't have to use everything they had to fill space. Now, an economical society, such as the Dutch, is using everything to fill space. All that's very saving. The French peasant, who is in such horrible condition today, will take the rabbit bones after he has stewed them and got the marrow all clean, and he'll take those rabbit bones and he'll put them in a gunny sack, which is an old gunny sack, which has been used for something else, so that the little tiny bit of grease that's in them will get into the gunny sacking, and he'll be able to use some of that to light a fire. See, I mean, after he's gone through and they're just completely sucked dry, well, he'll still use a little bit more. Boy, they're in terrible condition.
They get old before they're young. Now, if you look at your pre-clear, what part of the dream are you looking at? We call those cases two things. The case that's gone solid and the case that's in dispersal. The ridge case and the dispersal case. One is trying to empty space, empty space, empty space. And the other one is trying to fill space, fill space, fill space. They're different parts of cycles, the same cycle. Creation is you create some space, and then you try to fill it up for a while, and then finally you say, well, it can't be filled up, so you start to empty it. And when you've got it all empty, you and then knock the space together again, you have run the full cycle down to destruction. To totally destroy something, you would have to also destroy the space it occupied. Totally destroy something. That's why anybody who sets out to wreck the universe like Hitler never gets there. He might ruin all of Europe. He might wreck every object in Europe. But I'll be a son of a gun if he did anything, really, to the anchor points of the continent itself. He would have had to have gone down there and moved the rock of Gibraltar. He was never able to do that. They had several bombers working on it. He would have had to have gone up and knocked over parts of the Urals. He never managed that either. He never disturbed the space that was Europe, actually. But he sure raised hell inside of it. I'm sorry to have to put that on the line, because somebody might hear it sometime, they might realize exactly how you went about it. Because there's nothing to it. You don't go around and wreck all the internal space. What you do is go around and wreck what's holding the space together. Somebody might go up and find some anchor points someplace and pull them in on the mesh universe. He would have filled the space all right. It's the only way you'll ever fill space is jam it. You jam it with other spaces. That's discouraging, isn't it? The way you fill spaces, fill it full of spaces. Pretty dappy. What's this boil down to as a technique? Boils down to the fact that if you start running energy as part of this B space processing, you're going to get yourself into a wonderful situation with regard to pre-clear. You're going to get sick. Real sick. All you've got to say is be the energy now that surrounds your body. Now be the space in your body. Be the energy that surrounds the body. Be the space in your body. No, thank you. If this fellow's going to trigger, he's going to do it real bad. Because you ask him to be the space around his body, you're in essence asking him nothingness. But it's a very mild way to do it. It's quite workable. But if you start asking him to be condensed space, be expanded space, which is the same thing, and he's in real bad shape, he won't be able to take it.
a case that's really bad off, that's down in a sanitarium or something of the sort, if you ask them suddenly to take 10 minutes of nothing, of absolutely nothing, they'll try to find something to put in it. If you were to find a very poor man and gave him 10 minutes of no nothing, it would be quite a relief to him. You see, he's not happy about having anything. So there's 10 minutes of nothing as a technique and 10 minutes of no nothing. Only he's just going to take 10 minutes worth to fill in. You'll find that it'll just spoil that ridge setup he's got protecting the vacuum. Stuff will just pile in on it.
10 minutes of no nothing. And 10 minutes of nothing. But if you were to take a sanitarium case and give either one of these, somatics bang and pop and snap all over the place. But you can take the usual pre-clear and so forth, who's not a sanitarium case. You tell him, take 10 minutes of nothing. He'll get enough somatics and so forth. The interesting. He will. You say absolutely nothing here and that there and so on. What you're asking him to do is 10 minutes of not holding on. I don't advise this. I solved a case one time by making the fellow hold 10 minutes of no nothing. He practically blew himself out of the body. He just let go of all the preventers he was had to have something because he had nothing. His screens and everything just started caving in all directions. Person pulled a sharp one the other day. I heard him on the speaker system. He told somebody to hold on. Now, get the idea. He was holding on inside of his head, just holding on like mad. Inside his head. And get the idea, he wasn't there. Hold on like mad with the idea, he wasn't there. Well, is he right? Is he right? It's not advisable. But you'll find out that the thing, if you want to run that on somebody, you'll find out the first thing that will pop up in his mind will probably be, if I think where I am, they'll know. He's afraid to think where he is. So if he's afraid to think where he is so they'll know, then he's afraid to think where he is, isn't he? Well, why is he so upset about this? He'd know where he was himself, you see, if they knew. Why is he so upset? He's so upset because he doesn't have any space into which to escape. It's all their space. It isn't his space. Other determinisms really set in. So the techniques used on such a case level themselves primarily, not at the recapturing of energy, not at the running of bridges or anything of the sort like that, because that's too rough for a lower case, but a lower step case rather than a lower sanity case. So you know, there's a big difference between a lower step case and a lower sanity case. I'll try to make that plain and nice. You get a point there where the thing can't have any space, can't manufacture any space, and doesn't dare be in any space because it's all somebody else's. And therefore, your techniques are aimed toward correcting his concepts with regard to space, because on these, it's a learning how that he has forgotten how rather than a running out of aberration. In forgetting these, he is certain that somebody, anytime he puts up space, he has one certainty, if you run him any time at all, that if he thinks where he is, they'll know.
Who's they? Well, they've got him pinpointed, haven't they? He's being shot from every side by mass universe beams, isn't he? So therefore, they have him pinpointed. Who is they?
Nobody.
He thinks he's under arrest. Why? Everybody's shooting at him. Who is shooting at him? That lamp is. He just happens to be conceived in himself as a something. And then he thinks he has to conceive of himself as a space. What is he? He's a concept maker. Where is he?
No place, of course.
So they get certain of where they are by getting certain of where they aren't. And you've got an inverted situation in space where they're buttered all over space. That's because they're certain they're in all these places in space. That's because they're stuck all over the track. Then you've got the level of the case where they're certain they're not. You can get them to draw back to practically a pinpoint. And then they start running space, and they find out they can be in any space or create space and so forth. They'll finally chuck over even the idea of anchor points in space. It isn't a necessary concept. So as they go up the line, you just drill them through and got them used to space. You had to invert the sixth dynamic, in other words. You understand these cases a little bit better? They've forgotten their know-how because they think they're being fired at from all sides, so therefore they must be accepting other people's anchor points because the anchor points must be somebody else's. They're being shot at, aren't they? How simple. Idiotic level of reason, mostly because there's no reason connected with it. Well, now, can a Thetan think independent of a body, and can he think while he's drifting around, and can he think as a piece of space? He sure can. Remember, we're trying to rehabilitate three spaces, his own space, a mass universe space, and other people's space as far as he's concerned. Okay? Now, this afternoon, I want you to get real bright this afternoon. I want everybody to get real bright. I want them to tell me a good way to figure out, a good way, just on the same simplicity we're working on figuring out other people's space. How do you get himself to make other people's space? Just give me a good way to do it. Don't give it to me now. Give it to me at the end of the day. A workable process. It rehabilitates. The third. Okay.